visiting preacher get away with not preaching a Mother's Day sermon? And they thought for a minute and they said, no.
I said, okay.
But it is a privilege this morning to take time and looking at God's Word, to take time to honor not just mothers, but the whole concept of motherhood. And this morning, if you need a title, you take notes or whatever, that the title of the message this morning is Motherhood, an analogy of God's care. An analogy of God's care. This may shock you. I hope you know this. I hope you understand this. But God is neither male nor female. And I'm going to get ahead of myself, so I better get back to my notes. You know, God has designed women both physically and emotionally for motherhood. I mean, the physical thing, I mean, obviously, even with all this thing going on and people thinking that they can change their genders, people thinking that they can, you know, men think they can become women and women thinking they can become men, there is still a problem there. They can't have children. I think God is still, you know, God is still on the throne. God is still in control. He is the great creator. And man cannot copy His creation. Man cannot surpass His creation. Man cannot deny His design. Physically, they nurture a child in their womb and then on their breast. And one of the reasons we say that abortion is murder is because that child is no more dependent upon its mother in those first days outside the womb than it was inside the womb. Emotionally, they care for, they feel the little bumps in the hurt. God has designed them to be protective and forgiving. That doesn't mean those aren't qualities that we need to have as men. It just means that we're not as well equipped for those things. The first 5 years of a child's life are the most formative. It's been a very interesting year. We've had the pandemic. My in-laws have moved onto my property because it was too expensive for them to retire in Denver. So now I have a trailer house on my property. And just a few weeks ago, we finally got them out of our house into their new home. June is going to be even crazier. I have two weddings in June. June 1 and June 5. My youngest is getting married June 1st, and my oldest is getting married June 5th. So think about that for... Yeah. How did I get on that? Where did that rabbit trail come from? The first 5 years of a child's life are the most formative. And they often determine the character and course of that individual for the rest of their lives. Unfortunately, I think in our culture today, we've kind of minimized that. You know, one of infrastructure, we need more infrastructure. You've heard this recently, right? We need more infrastructure. And one of the things that we need for more infrastructure is more daycare. Not only is that a redefining of what the word infrastructure means, but really what it is a demeaning of motherhood. For mothers who embrace their God-designed roles, no one has more influence in a child's destiny than mother. Although God does use masculine vocabulary of Himself to show His authority and His leadership and His headship, He also in the Bible uses descriptions of mothers to describe His care and His concern and His compassion for mankind. Turn with me to start with this morning to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, I'm sure this is a familiar verse. I'm sure this is a verse that probably all of you could quote. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27 says, "So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them." Now this may be the most significant thing that I say this morning. God made man in His own image. What is an image? An image is a reflection. An image is what you see when you look in the mirror. You see a reflection of yourself. Is that equal to you? No, but it reflects who you are. In order for God designed in creating man to reflect His image was not just Adam. Male and female created He them. It put both a male and a female to reflect the image of God. Ladies, you are no less important than men are. You are equally important. Without you, although our image bearing, our bearing God's image has been corrupted by sin, without you, half of God's image is missing. It took both male and female to reflect God's image. How do mothers illustrate some of God's character? How do mothers? Well, the first thing this morning I want you to see is that they care. Mothers care. How do they care? By providing. Go ahead and turn with me, if you would, to Psalm chapter 22. The 22nd Psalm. You ever done the Bible trivia and it asked you how many chapters there are in the book of Psalms? There are zero chapters in the book of Psalms. Every single one of them is an individual song. You know, when we open our hymn books, we don't say we're going to sing chapter 457 in our hymn book. No, we say we're going to sing hymn number 457. The chapters and verses that we have in our Bible are not divinely inspired. They have been put there by editors, and I'm glad that they're there. Otherwise, we'd all be looking for a long time to find that obscure verse in the middle of Jeremiah so that we could follow along. However, the numbering of the Psalms is divinely inspired. That is part of the text. They are all individual songs. So, the 22nd Psalm, verses 9 and 10. It says, "But Thou art He that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon Thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly." The psalmist here is talking about how God cared for him. And what does he compare that to? He compares that to his physical mother. They care by providing. They are the nurturing place of life. It is still miraculous to think about the way I thought about this recently. It's been over 7 months since I had this terrible foot injury, and those bones are still healing. September this year. Yeah, 7 months. And these bones are still not completely healed, and the x-rays show that there's still some hollow and weak places. But you know what? God has designed women so that they make a whole child in 9 months. That's a very special provision. Someone, I think, kind of half-heartedly, maybe lightly this morning said, if it wasn't for mothers, none of us would be here. And we kind of laugh, we smile, yeah, that's true. But it really is true. But it really is true. Now, yes, I know, it takes a father too. We make the contribution, but they do all the work. Isn't that, that's kind of the way that works? They provide life. They provide nurture. As I said earlier, you know, that newborn child is no more dependent upon its mother inside the womb than it is outside the womb. Dependent on mom for everything. For nourishment, for feedings, for changing, for clothing, for bathing, for holding, for comfort, for love, for touch. They care by providing. David likens his dependence upon his mother as an infant to his dependence upon God as the giver of life and the gracious sustainer of life. Notice again, verse 9. Thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. David likens it to dependent to his mother as an infant. Depends on its mother. And so God there is there to provide for us, to give us life, to nurture us, to care for us. Secondly, how do mothers care? They care by protecting. They care by protecting. Let's go to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew in chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 37. Jesus, as He is looking over Jerusalem, and lamenting their spiritual state, their rebelliousness, His love and His care for them, says in verse 37, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would by protecting. We all understand this picture of, now we do have chickens on our property. We raise them for eggs. But one thing we do not keep is roosters. We only keep hens. But every once in a while, even though you have bought all hens, somehow a rooster will sneak in there. And as soon as they crow, that's it. they're done. I'm not keeping roosters around. Roosters get mean. And all they do is, as far as I'm concerned, we raise chickens for eggs. And roosters don't lay eggs. Kind of get back to God's design there. We had a family that we knew that was moving, and they wanted us to take all their chickens, and one of their things that they wanted us to do is they wanted us to take their roosters too. So for a very short time, we took roosters, and that was when the hen pen was farther away from the house, much farther away from the house than it is now. And it's, we'll try this. We'll try, letting the hen hatch out the chicks. And, it's very neat to see that. All these chicks chasing after their mother, and any time there's a danger, she just raises up and they all gather under there and she shelters them. By sheltering the chicks, the hen must leave herself more exposed to danger. Many illustrations of mothers doing great feats to protect or rescue their children. We can give many antidotes of that. Mothers running out into traffic to grab their child or putting themselves in harm's way. Remember the old day, maybe many of you don't, but I can still remember a few times riding with my grandmother, and if she had to, for some reason, come for a sudden stop in the car, what did she do with her arm? Yeah, all you know exactly what I'm talking about. There's that protective instinct. Now, at that time I was 80 or 90 pounds. You come to a sudden stop, that's an 80, 90 pound missile. You're not going to stop them with that arm. It's worthless. If anything, you're going to end up breaking your arm. But and we probably even know that in our heads. But why do they do that? It's just that instinct. I've got to protect this child. That was before a lot of the seatbelt laws and those types of things. And some of those cars didn't even have seatbelts. And remember how some of the cars had used to have that big behind the back seat. You'd have that big flat area, and people would stick their kids up there in that back window. They'd be sleeping back there. And yeah, I'm one of those kids. I rode in the back of a pickup. I've drunk from a garden hose, and I'm still alive to tell about it. Rode my bike without a helmet. I don't even think they had such a thing as a bicycle helmet when I was a kid. But mothers will go to great length to protect their children. Jesus speaks of His and God's desire here in this verse. How often? That speaks of a longing, a continual desire to gather them. But in doing that, the mother hen is completely exposed to whatever danger is present. So Jesus went to expose Himself on the cross for our protection. Literally for our deliverance from eternal damnation. Mothers care. We see it in their providing. We see it in their protection. Not only do mothers care, they also coach. They also coach. Let's go to a number of different passages of Scripture, and it's not my normal practice to go to a bunch of passages of Scripture, but it's appropriate for a message like this. And we are going to start in, believe it or not, Proverbs 31. I think you guys had a verse about in Proverbs 31 this morning, didn't you? Proverbs chapter 31, although I'm not going there, I'm going to go to another verse in Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31, beginning in verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. How do they coach? Well, first of all, by educating. This is, you know, we often talk about, and normally the focus on the Proverbs 31 is the virtuous woman that starts down in, I think it is in verse 10. But who was taught this? The king. Who taught him? His mother. This is his mother's instruction to him. I think I'm borrowing this from my father-in-law, but he says that the reason why the Proverbs 31 woman, the reason why those standards are so high is because those are the mother-in-law's standards. You can laugh. That's okay, I'm sorry. That's the mother-in-law standards for her boy. That's why those are such hard standards and such hard values to live up to. I might be stealing a little bit from the lesson the last time I was here. Verse 4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor princes strong drink, lest they forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Where did this instruction, where did this education come from? It came from his mother. It came from his mother. New Testament example, let's turn to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy chapter 1 to start with. Now Timothy is such a significant character in the New Testament. Paul calls him my son in the faith. He says of Timothy, there is no one I have like him who will naturally care for you. And in 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded in thee also. Where did Timothy's character, where did his faith start? Now, we know that Timothy's father was a Greek. And he is never mentioned by name, and either he was no longer on the scene or his own father was never a believer. And yet that educational influence. And notice, Paul had more confidence that this faith was in his mother and in his grandmother. And he says, I'm persuaded it's in you also. But he has more confidence that his mother and his grandmother had it. And he has confidence that Timothy has it because he got it from his grandmother and from his mother. I guess this is kind of a special Mother's Day. This is my wife's first Mother's Day being a grandmother as well. So we're excited. You know, hey, I love being a dad. But being grandpa is even more special, I think. And just the hard thing is when they live so far away. And you know what the most disappointing thing about this foot is how am I going to chase my grandkids? Honestly, that's the most disappointing thing about it. How am I going to chase my grandkids? How am I going to keep up with them? But again, I'm getting off base here. How do mothers coach? They do it by being that first educator. They are the ones that teach the essentials of life. And before I get too much further, 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, maybe just right across the page in your Bible. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And that from a child. Don't wait to start teaching your children theology. Theology, that sounds all complicated. No, theology is simply Bible teaching. And go further than the Bible stories. Apply those stories, apply those lessons to their daily life. I wish I had been better at this as a dad. I really do. Let me brag on my dad for a minute. I was visiting my parents and my brother and sister, or my brother and his wife down in Florida, and I remember little John. Poor little John has six sisters. Now, thankfully, he's not the youngest of them. But John was out in the backyard building sandcastles. And his sisters, bless their heart, kept coming over and knocking them down. And so he did what any brother would do when his little sisters keep knocking down his sandcastles. He got angry. And I didn't actually see if there was a physical altercation or not, but I remember my dad dealing with him. Of course, he dealt with the granddaughters for knocking down the sandcastles. But he said, "John, do you remember what Isaac did when they kept filling in his wells? Remember that Bible story? He went and he dug a new one. And they filled that one in, and he went and dug a new one." And I thought, wow, how neat. Not only did he just remind him of it wasn't just a Bible story, it was a life lesson. This is how you can apply that Bible story to your current situation. And you know what? We call that counseling. We don't need to go to secular counselors. The Bible has all that we need. Mothers teach the essentials of life. Things such as, can we say this in a Sunday morning church service? Potty training. They need that, right? They need to learn to do that. Eating etiquette. Proper speech. How to tie their shoes. Morals. Road crossing. This one has been very significant recently, hasn't it? Hand washing. How to wash your hands. How to get dressed. Manners. And even theology. The first teacher of all those things is mom. Likewise, God is our teacher. Let's go to the Gospel of John, chapter 14. John chapter 14 and verse 26. Another familiar passage of Scripture. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatever I have said unto you. God's Spirit is our teacher, the teacher of spiritual essentials. He's our helper. He teaches us and gives us remembrance of God's Word. Mothers coach by educating. Mothers also coach by encouraging. The second chapter of John. By the way, this is another message altogether. Where did Jesus perform the first miracle? At a wedding. John chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, again, we did that last time I was here, that just means juice that was from a grape beverage. The mother of Jesus says unto him, they have no wine. And Jesus says unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. Now, by the way, Jesus was not being disrespectful when he called his mother woman. That's not the way you read that. In the culture in which he was addressing her in a respectful way. And by the way, man, I hope you never refer to your wife as the old lady. She's not just some old lady, she's your wife. And if you have children, she's the mother of your children. She's just not the old lady. Mine hour is not yet come. Verse 5, his mother says unto the servant, whatsoever he says unto you, do it. Now wait a minute. Jesus has already grown up, right? He's already left home. He's already begun his earthly ministry in earnest, as it were. And yet there's his mother kind of pushing and encouraging and prodding. Now, did Jesus really need prodded and encouraged? No. But she's being mom. All right, I know what God called you to do. Mothers coach by encouraging, sometimes by prodding, sometimes by assuring, sometimes by correcting a wrong attitude, wrong thinking. By the way, God gave children parents because children don't know what's good for them. Sometimes it's unfortunate that oftentimes the first word our children speak is what? It's not mama, not dada, it's no. Not yours, huh? I think that was one of the first words my kid came to understand was no. But He said, that's so negative,
so horrible. Well, no, we need to hear no.
Even in the Garden of Eden, God gave them a no, did He not? Now, it was a superabundant yes. Every tree freely eat, but there was something that was still forbidden, something that was a no. Sometimes correcting wrong attitudes, wrong thinking, wrong decisions, wrong actions. Sometimes by consoling after a failure or a defeat. And sometimes, like the coat, they're even cleaning up the blood and the cuts and the dirt after the failure. In the same way, God's Spirit is our encourager. Back again to John chapter 16. Again, this passage speaking about God's Holy Spirit. John chapter 16, verses 7 through 10. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. You know, one of the wonderful things about serving the God that we have, the God of the Bible, is we did not reach up to Him, He reached down to us. We don't have to provide our own way of salvation to get to Him. He provided the way of salvation. One of the passages of Scripture that always amazes me the most is in just a few chapters earlier than this, in John 14. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Wait a minute. You're the eternal Son of God. You've already given me salvation. You've already rescued me from an eternity hell. And now you are going to go and you're working and to provide a place for me in heaven? And as wonderful as it was for Jesus to be on this earth, He says it is expedient, it is better for you that I leave. Because when I leave, when I go back to my Father in heaven, I am sending you the Holy Spirit. He will teach you. He will comfort you. He will advocate for you. He is our mediator in prayer. For we do not know how we ought to pray, but He prays knowing the mind of God. He intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. God's Spirit is our encourager. He is our helper. Verse 7. Notice continuing on. Verse 8. And when He comes, He will reprove He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, and righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. The Holy Spirit is our encourager. He is our helper. He is our convictor. He brings that correction. He shows us what is right and wrong. He is our guide. He shows us the right path to take. Verse 13. Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatever He shall hear, that He shall speak, and He will show you things to come. Motherhood provides for us an analogy of God's care. Of God's care for His children. He cares and He coaches. Again, I think the most significant thing I can say this morning is man by himself was insufficient to reflect the image of God. In order to do that, God needed to create both male and female. Ladies, you are not unimportant. You are not one step below men. You're essential. And as a matter of fact, you are to be cherished for the role that God has given you. Not just as mothers, but also as women. So, thank you. Thank you, Mom, for all that you do. You help illustrate, help us picture part of God's character, part of God's nature. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in a word of prayer this morning. Father, I thank you for your great design. And Lord, only the omniscient God, the omnipotent God, could plan and carry out such a wonderful creation. Lord, we thank you for your design and the way that you have chosen to use Mom to show forth your character, your care, your concern, your compassion for your children. And Lord, I pray that we would just have a wonderful day of making our mom feel special, because they are. Lord, I pray that you would just give us a restful and a profitable afternoon. Bring us back as we open up the Word of God this evening as well. Be with Pastor Byford and Ann as they are traveling. Bring them safely back. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your attention this morning.